You're with Morning Ireland. It's 12 minutes past seven. There's global outrage over claims of civilian killings and torture by Russian troops in the Ukrainian town of Bucha. World leaders have condemned the killings, with many, including President Biden, labelling Vladimir Putin a war criminal. Human Rights Watch, which is documenting the evidence from Bucha and surrounding areas, says what they've witnessed is consistent with tactics employed by Russia in other areas, including Syria. However, Russia denies involvement in the deaths of civilians, with their ambassador to the UN claiming the scenes witnessed in Bucha were arranged by the Ukrainian war machine. However, the New York Times says a review of satellite images shows that many of the civilians were killed more than 3 weeks ago when Russia was in control of the town. President Zelensky, who visited Bucha yesterday, said this is more than war crimes, this is genocide. Today he'll address an emergency session of the UN Security Council. Tomorrow he addresses a joint session of the Oireachtas. Earlier I spoke to Ukrainian MP Ivana Klimpusht-Zinzadze. She gave me first her reaction to the evidence of killings emerging from Bucha.
I think every real human being reacts very similarly to what was revealed after this area have been liberated by the Ukrainian armed forces, and after we saw what Russian occupiers have left after them. Those are horrific scenes, and those are scenes that are just confirming that Russia is conducting genocide on the Ukrainian territory, and that they are actually carrying out what they have been announcing publicly, that they want to extinguish Ukrainian nation, that they want to erase us from the map of the world.
You know, of course, that Russia has categorically denied any involvement in what we have seen and what you and your president have witnessed in Bucha. They say that this has been staged by the Ukrainian war machine. How do you respond?
Well, this fully corresponds to the track record of lies and track record of twisted reality that Russia has been presenting to the whole world. They, starting from the very fact that basically a day before the invasion or the full-scale invasion, they have been denying their readiness to do that, that they've been denying that they actually have the plans to do that. And since then, they have been further and further twisting the whole picture and trying to suggest that we Ukrainians have been killing ourselves. I mean, Ukraine has been a beautiful, wonderful country before Russia decided to come and quote and unquote protect Russian-speaking population or protect Ukrainians from the Ukrainian government. That has nothing to do with reality. That they have come with rape, with killing, with bombs, with looting on our land, and they have been showing the most cruel face of any invasion that have been seen in the world since World War II.
What is your knowledge now of what happens next? Your president has said that they are, and I think US intelligence as well suggests, Russia is now repositioning in the eastern areas of Ukraine.
We see that happening. We see that they are trying to concentrate additional forces in the east, in the northern and southern parts of the east. So they want to close that area. They want to ensure that they are winning on that part of the territory. They are not giving up. They want to continue pressing on Ukraine, and they want to ensure that Ukraine as a state does not exist. And they will be trying their very best to do that. And that's why we are calling on the whole free world to help us with additional weaponry, to help us with a really full-scale, comprehensive sanctions that would not have any loopholes as they have until now, and to help us also with the financial and humanitarian support so that we can carry on with our economy and can carry on helping those people that do need humanitarian assistance in those areas.
And I know that in pursuit of these demands, that you have just returned from the United States, where you had a number of high-level meetings, including with Nancy Pelosi, and you also had a meeting in Canada with Justin Trudeau. What did you seek in these meetings, and what commitments did you get?
Yes, it was a cross-party delegation of female Ukraine parliamentarians beat up additional urgent support in terms of getting additional, specifically offensive weaponry that is called offensive, but we need that offensive in order to defend ourselves on our own territory. We asked for additional financial assistance and for that closure of loopholes in the sanctions. We have seen in both countries, in Canada and in the US, bipartisan support of Ukrainian cause. But at the same time, we believe that not all the political decisions have yet been taken in terms of specifically getting us those weapons that would make sure that we are able to kick out, if I may say so, Russians from those areas where they are digging in, and also to ensure that Russia is not being financed additionally by the money, for example, from the European Union for energy resources that are being bought from. I believe there is a goodwill. There is still a kind of a crack between the goodwill and the full-scale support of Ukraine to the extent that we can win this war.
There is a meeting today among the EU Commission. A fifth round of sanctions is anticipated. Would you expect, or do you have any knowledge, that maybe some of these loopholes that you talk about could be closed in this new round of sanctions?
What I'm hearing, there is a beam of hope that maybe at least embargo on Russian oil and Russian coal will be introduced. That would be a great step forward, but definitely, you know, still continuing buying gas from Russian Federation, that is something that will continue supporting their economy and continue putting money into war machinery that is providing terrorist activities on the Ukrainian soil. So I hope there are important steps to be adopted right now, but still I think not all the governments are on board, and I'm saddened and basically appalled by the fact that, for example, such position of Hungary that has been precluding European Union from introducing embargo on oil, gas, and coal from Russian Federation, or you know, the very cautious behavior and very cautious approach of Germany in terms of embargoing Russian gas, that is still holding back the full pressure on Russia that could change its behavior.
What hope for these peace talks? You've said yourself, I think, that you believe they are now a smokescreen for Russia to regroup.
Totally did not change my opinion about those talks, because these are not even peace negotiations. You cannot conduct peace negotiations having the gun at your head and having the Russian army continuing raping our territories and cutting our territories and making us bleed. So I think the only hope for these talks is the ceasefire that would allow us at least to get people out from the shelled upon territories, and thus helping in humanitarian aspect. But I do not see that we are getting any closer to real peace talk at this particular moment.
And that was Ukrainian MP Ivana Tlimpush-Tsinzadze. She was speaking to me a little earlier.